Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
He puts on an achievement ring before he goes into high school.
Good morning. I'd like to bring the House Committee on Business and Labor to order this beautiful Monday morning, May 4th. Hope you all had a relaxing weekend. We're going to start out by opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 133A.
Mr. Chair, committee members, this measure authorizes DCBS to make the system that provides electronic access to the building codes information available to public bodies that provide construction-related services. It prohibits the department from taking disciplinary action against any public body that chooses not to participate in the system. Eliminates the January 2, 2018 sunset on the building permit surcharge that's used to defray the cost of developing the system. And it reduces the surcharge from 5% of permit fees to 4%. There are no amendments.
Thank you. Senator Devlin, welcome this morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senator Richard Devlin, Senate District 19. Chair Holway, members of the committee, thank you for this opportunity to speak in support of SB 133A, which is a bill that removes the sunset on the funding mechanism for and makes other technical changes to the Oregon's e-permitting system for builders and other contractors. The e-permitting system allows for contractors to apply, pay, and receive building permits approvals online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The program has been operating successfully for 6 years. More local jurisdictions are using the system each year. 54 cities and counties use it so far, with several more in the process. The Building Codes Division, its local government partners, and the private sector users strongly support e-permitting. Reauthorization of this program requires no increase in fees, staff, or budget for the Building Codes Division. The bill passed out of the Senate, fairly controversial, 29-0. with one member excused. I hope you consider supporting SB 133A and passing it through the committee with a due pass recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Don't see any questions.
Mr. Chair?
Oh, Representative Widener, I didn't see you down there.
So,
a question?
A question. Senator Devlin, looks like this is just going to speed up the process for contractors and make life easier for them, is the way I'm reading this and understanding it?
Yes, I think it makes life easier for contractors. I think it's actually more efficient for local government. I think everybody benefits from its passage.
Senator, those are the kinds of hardball questions you get from this committee.
Just a pro-business bill.
And I understand you also wanted to testify on Senate Bill
496.
I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 496. Jan, give us a brief description.
Mr. Chair and committee members, this measure clarifies that the death or permanent total disability resulting from a compensable workers' compensation claim is a qualifying criteria for eligibility for benefits from the Public Safety Memorial Fund. There are no amendments.
Thank you. And if you'd introduce yourself again for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senator Richard Devlin, Senate District 19. Chair Holway, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of SB 496, which is a bill that includes certain compensable workers' compensation claims as qualifying criteria for eligibility for benefits from the Public Safety Memorial Fund. The Public Safety Memorial Fund provides health benefits for public safety officers who have suffered a qualifying disability or a family member of a public safety officer who has suffered a qualifying death or disability. Currently, a qualifying death or disability must be linked to a specific enforcement action or emergency response. The Public Safety Memorial does not currently have the legal ability to presume deaths or disabilities that are the result of long-term or continued events. The bill would give that legal ability to the Public Safety Memorial Fund. Some disabilities or deaths are a result of long-term continued events, like cancer in firefighters as a result of exposure to multiple cancer-causing agents while performing their duties. The bill would change so that benefits could be given a public service officer with a workers' compensation eligibility injury or an illness leading to his or her death. Using the workers' compensation definition for disability will bring clarity for the application of the law. This is a very limited expansion that will be explained in greater detail by Bob Livingston of the Oregon State Firefighters Council. I want to emphasize that because this became an issue in its consideration in the Senate, and once people understood that maybe one or two of these cases every two or three years actually meets this criteria, that this is not really opening up this fund very substantially, and the people and their families that are hurt or are no longer with us are in fact actually they are actually disabled, or they have died as a result of their occupational that they have chosen. The bill will modernize the Public Service Memorial Fund so that it can continue to fulfill its original purpose of providing support for those who have risked their lives to keep us safe. The bill passed out of the Senate, again controversial, on a 30-0 vote. Please consider supporting 496 and passing it through the committee with a due pass recommendation. And thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Monday mornings are always kind of slow for me.
Yeah, as they are for me as well. Not really a fan of Monday mornings. But thank you very much for taking the effort to get here, regardless of the time, and starting us off with these two bills, really important bills, so I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
With that, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing on Senate Bill 496. We remain open for Senate Bill 133A. And so let's have Warren Jackson, Brian Krieg, and Ryan Tribbett. Good morning. If you could introduce yourself for the record, whoever wants to go first.
Chair Holvey and members of the committee, for the record, I am Warren Jackson, building official for Marion County, Oregon.
Go ahead and give it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
And you can move back from that mic a little bit.
All right.
You know, push it away from it. Even. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Well, Marion County, Oregon. I'm the building official for Marion County, and we use the e-permitting product, and it works quite well for us in our operation. Some of the advantages to the program are that when I first started Marion County in 1999, not as building official, but as a plans examiner, we were in the middle of switching from one software program to another. It was a very lengthy process and a very expensive process. Some of the expenses are data conversion, training IT staff to become experts in scripting for that particular program. Our last switch about 2 years ago was much more efficient when we switched to the e-permitting program. The State Building Codes Division has IT experts that know the inner workings of the program and how it works. So for us, we did have to have staff that knew our program assist in the process, but it was a lot less labor intensive for us and a lot less expensive. We didn't have the hundreds of thousands of dollars going out to make the conversion. It was rather just staff time and the experience and expertise of the state folks that helped us convert our data. They set up the program and we let them know our particular values for certain fields. It works great. If we had to purchase the program on our own, we probably wouldn't have all the bells and whistles this program has. One of the nicest things about this program, but had we purchased this ourselves, there'd be an additional expense, is that our contractors can purchase and apply for permits online. So last calendar year, we had, I think, approximately 1,000 folks apply for their permits online. So the vast majority of those folks were able to print out an actual permit for the work that they were going to do. It just really allows us to use our scarce resources in a more efficient manner, lets us devote those to assisting the customers rather than purchasing this product on our own. It works great. Our customers can take the knowledge they learn when buying permits from us and use the same process to purchase them from other jurisdictions that use the program as well. So there's a benefit to them. They're not having to learn a bunch of different software programs when they can learn how to use the online system. For our jurisdiction, it works in Polk County too. and other places that adopt this program. Thank you.
Chair Holvey, members of the committee. My name is Brian Krieg, and today I'm representing the Plumbing and Mechanical Contractors Association and the Sheet Metal and Air Conditioning Contractors National Association. Pleased to be here on this bright, sunny Monday morning to be in support of a great bill. Our industry's helped with the founding of this e-permitting process in Oregon. This started about 10 years ago. The process of putting the program together and growing it and expanding it over time has gone well. Our contractors find that it is a very helpful tool for them. It helps for their efficiency, accuracy. It helps them in their relationships with their local governments. And it also helps consumers, too, because it makes sure that we can get the permits in a timely manner. We urge your support of the measure and think it's a great bill.
For the record, Ryan Tribbett with the National Electrical Contractors Association and the Associated Wall and Ceiling Contractors, also here in support of the bill. We've been involved as well in the e-permitting program since before its inception in 2007. It's been a good program basically for the 300 small businesses that make up those two associations. It just makes their interactions with state government more convenient and less time-consuming. And so in the year 2015, we don't think things are going to go backwards. We think there's going to be more computers and more technology involved in things, and we think we should be able to file for our permits online. It's a simple bill. It's a good bill. Urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Questions? So how is this paid for, the cost of the program specifically? Is it paid for with the permit fees by the jurisdictions that participate in it, or for all jurisdictions, or do we know?
Chair Holvey, members of the committee, it is paid through our permit fees that we're doing. When it originally started, the first discussions of doing e-permitting were back in about 2003 and 2004. We actually approached our members of Congress, Representative Hooley and then Senator Wyden, actually helped us getting some federal grant monies to help put the program together to begin with. So that was very helpful on there, but it comes through our fees.
And this is Ryan. The fee itself, as you see in the bill, is actually going down as well. The surcharge that was put on the permits, if you did electronic filing, was originally slated at, I think it was 5%. Now it's going down to 4% to sort of match what the actual cost is. So opportunity to give kudos to BCD for finding the most frugal way to implement the program.
Great. Any other questions? Not seeing any, gentlemen. Thank you very much for your testimony this morning. Oh, is there anyone else that wanted to testify on Senate Bill 133A? Not seeing any other questions. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 133A. Let's go ahead and open up Senate Bill 496. Did I close works? So Bob Livingston and Lindsey Hale on Senate Bill 496.
Thank you, Chair Holvey, members of the committee. My name is Lindsey Hale. I'm the Public Safety or Professional Standards Division Director at the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training. I'll be brief in my testimony, as I've also submitted written testimony for your consideration. Part of my duties at DPSST is administering the Public Safety Memorial Fund in conjunction with the six-member Public Safety Memorial Fund Board. Current Memorial Fund Board membership consists of two public safety administrators, three represented officers, and one public member, representing all of the public safety disciplines across the state. These six individuals are responsible for making eligibility determinations for the Memorial Fund. The fund was established in 1999 as means to provide immediate but temporary financial relief for public safety officers and their families, excuse me, who are reliant on the salary and benefits of the officer following a qualifying death or permanent total disability suffered in the line of duty. The fund is designed with minimal red tape in recognition of the years that it takes for other federal and insurance benefits to kick in. Most recently, the fund was able to assist the family of Deputy Gil Dayton of the Coos County Sheriff's Office, who was tragically killed 2 weeks ago. As Senator Devlin alluded to, there were initial concerns about the impact of this legislation on the fund. However, through conversations with Mr. Livingston and Legislative Council, those concerns have been alleviated. While it's impossible to know exactly how many more applications for benefits will be made, it is expected that this bill would have a minimal impact on the fund. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Chair Holvey, committee members, for the record, my name is Bob Livingston, representing the Oregon State Firefighters Council. I appreciate the opportunity to speak in front of you today on what we believe is a good bill, one that having been around in 1999 since the inception of the establishment of the Oregon Public Safety Memorial Fund, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, while there were certain many players that worked on that piece of legislation, really one of the key persons that provided the ability to move that legislation forward that has really helped out a lot of public safety families was the late and honorable Ben Westland, who recognized the need for that. And at that time, many of us in the public safety arena helped shepherd that through as well. And the problem that we're here today to try to and attempt to correct in a very narrow point, and as Ms. Hales pointed out to you, we worked hard with legislative council as well as the chief sponsor, Senator Devlin, to make sure it is a narrowly crafted provision, and that's this. In the original bill in 1999, as you can see, if you look at Senate Bill 496, it had to be an approximate or an immediate action in order to qualify for that. One of the things that we've recognized over the years is that for many of these instances, a public safety officer, whether it be perhaps a police officer that, unbeknownst to them, goes into a methamphetamine lab without the proper protection, or certainly a firefighter that is exposed to the various carcinogens over the years, that a lot of times those deaths can unfortunately not be immediate, but they can last a long time and take years to exacerbate. This bill will correct that problem in the statutes. One of the final points that I'd like to make to you is that this is not a workers' comp bill. That should make this committee extremely happy. What it does do, though, is in the original bill, it does reference what a permanent and total disability is. I think a death speaks for itself. I'd be happy to go into a little bit more detail if need be on the threshold of a permanent and total disability. Again, legislative council put that on the record that's a very high threshold. We're not changing that definition. It's the same definition that was in the statutes back in 1999. And I would only cite that in the information that I was able to gather from DCBS from 2000 to 2013, there was 33 permanent and total disabilities, not just in public safety officers, but in the entire workers' comp system, of which only one would have been eligible for the Public Safety Memorial Fund. So we believe this is an appropriate bill, one that corrects an oversight. And while I can't prove it, I do know in working many years with the Honorable Ben Westland that he would certainly approve of this change. And with that, I would ask that, just like the Senate, you pass this bill unanimously and correct this problem in the statutes. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bob, refresh my memory. Where does the money come from in the fund? I can't remember.
Chair Holvey, Representative Escobel, that's a good question. The money comes from an occasional generosity of the legislature through general fund allocations. There's no dedicated funds that come to the Public Safety Memorial Fund. And so what happens is on occasion, there's an allocation. The DPSST keeps track of that, and through the various either e-board process or during a general session, will advise the legislature where the fund is. And fortunately, over the years, there has been enough funds to cover all of the expenses and needs for the system.
Thank you.
Other questions? Not seeing any. Thank you for bringing the important bill forward. Appreciate it. With that, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 496. Let's go ahead and open a work session on Senate Bill 496.
Chair Holvey, I move Senate Bill 496 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Barton moves Senate Bill 496 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Seeing none.
Shall we?
Matthew.
Oh.
Representative
Barretto?
Aye.
Representative
Escobar?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fagan?
I excused.
Representative
Byrd?
Yes.
Representative
Nelson?
I'm enthusiastic. It's a Monday.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Second
one.
Aye.
Aye. Senate Bill 496 having received the votes is passed. Representative Doherty, would you carry this bill?
Sure.
And with that, we'll close work session on Senate Bill 496. Let's open up a work session on Senate Bill
133A. Chair Holvey, I move Senate Bill 133A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Barton moves Senate Bill 133A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Maybe this is the electronic e-permitting one we just heard.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Widener.
I can work on that.
Probably the best business bill we've passed out of this committee so far.
I don't know. The Bank Act was pretty big up there. No other discussion. Matthew, can we have a vote, please?
133.
Aye.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Escobar?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fagan?
Excused.
Representative Hurd?
Yes.
Representative
Nuss?
Aye.
Representative
Weiser?
Aye.
Aye. Senate Bill 133A, having received the votes, is passed. Representative Kinnemer, would you like to carry that one?
Be delighted. Thank you.
We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 133A, and we'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 693A.
Committee members, this measure authorizes scrap metal businesses to make payment by electronic funds transfer, a stored value card, or a stored value device. There are no amendments, there's no revenue, and there's no fiscal impact.
Thank you. Is there anybody interested in speaking on this bill? Jennifer Hudson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Introduce yourself for the record, please.
Yes. Good morning, Chair Holvey, members of the committee. My name is Jennifer Hudson. I'm Associate Counsel and Governmental Affairs Manager for Schnitzer Steel. I'm here today in support of Senate Bill 693A. You have my written testimony, so I'll keep this brief. And I had the opportunity to visit with most of you last week, or you've talked to my lobbyist, Hasina Squires. So. Basically, background, Schnitzer Steel, since 1906, we've been headquartered in Portland, Oregon. We have three business lines, auto part retail sales, metals recycling, and one steel mill in McMinnville, Oregon, Representative Widener's district. Thank you. I'm here today to talk to you about metals recycling. In 2009, the legislature passed metals theft legislation that restricts how we pay for non-ferrous metals that we purchase from the public. We are only allowed to pay by check, and we mail that check 3 days later. And Schnitzer Steel is fine with that law. We are fine with the spirit of the law. It works for us. However, technology has advanced somewhat since 2009, and we'd like this bill will allow us the opportunity to pay by prepaid debit card. And offer that as an option to our customers. It's really a pretty simple bill. That's all it does. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Barton.
And Jennifer, correct me if I'm wrong, but the prepaid debit card, you'd give them the card And 3 days later, then, like, the money magically appears on the card, is that?
Yes, Chair Holvey, Representative Barton, that's correct. We're going to hand them a prepaid debit card that is empty at the time, and then 3 days later, it will populate with the funds to keep with the spirit of the law, where you have to mail the check 3 days later. Thanks.
Other questions? Seems scrap metals moving into the 21st century. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your testimony this morning.
Thank you.
Was there anyone else that wanted to testify on Senate Bill 693? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 693 and open a work session on Senate Bill 693A.
Chair Holvey, I move House Bill 693A to the floor. Senate Bill 693A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Barton moves Senate Bill 693A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Seeing none, Matthew, could we have a roll call vote?
Representative Bretta?
Aye.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative
Meskel? Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes, for Steele.
Representative
Kagan? Aye. She's excused.
Representative Burton?
Yes.
Representative Nuss?
Aye.
Representative Weiner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cameron?
Aye.
Chair Holdy?
Aye. Senate Bill 693A, having received the votes, is passed. Representative Barton, would you carry?
Yes, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
With that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 693A.
I could carry it since it was in my district, but that's okay.
Yeah, he's a sponsor on the bill.
Sorry,
I'll get you next time. With that, let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 185A.
Mr. Chair and committee members, the measure establishes the unlawful employment practice of requiring an employee or a job applicant to establish or maintain a personal social media account, or to authorize the employer to advertise on the personal social media account of the employee or applicant. No amendments, no revenue impact. There is a minimal fiscal impact. And the Senate vote was 30-0.
Thank you.
This is a major problem.
And Peggy Roquist? Oh, Boquist, I'm sorry. The B is sort of missing part of its... Good morning.
It's not right.
Good morning, Chairman Holvey and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Peggy Boquist. I'm from Polk County, live in Dallas, Oregon. And a little story, or my introduction of this bill. I do support this passage of this bill, Senate Bill 185A. I was at an event about a year ago, and a Navy veteran that I was talking to, who just returned from Guam after 6 years in the Navy, honorably discharged, great guy. He was looking for work, and I mentioned to him there was a nationally known sporting goods store just opening in Wilsonville, and I felt that he had probably the qualities necessary to look into that kind of work. And he did. I saw him several months later at another event. I asked him, how did that go? And he says, I applied online. And I got a telephone interview. And the telephone interview went so well that they were going to do a physical interview in at the store. And they did make one comment to him about his online application, that he had failed to complete the portion on his Facebook address, or Facebook, that he had Facebook. And he mentioned to the interviewer over the phone that he did not have a Facebook. And his explanation to me about that was, in the United States Navy, a lot of people that had Facebook had some negative consequences from that, because people make mistakes and post things they shouldn't post. And he never chose to get a Facebook. And so he still, to that time, did not have a Facebook. And he told the man on the telephone that was interviewing him that he was not going to get a Facebook. And they said, well, we really need to have that before we do the physical interview. We want you to get one. And he said, I'm not going to. And so the physical interview was canceled, and he was not given the opportunity to go any farther in the interview process or the hiring process. And when I heard that story, of course, it was a little discouraging to me. It's so very hard for people to find work, entry-level jobs, right now. And in particular, I have a soft spot for our veterans, and I think it was wrong. And so I brought this bill forward through the Senate, and honestly didn't expect it to get a hearing. And I am so delighted that you're hearing this bill. I can't tell you. And I do urge a support on this bill. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Are there questions? Representative Doherty.
Ms. Boquist, I would assume that this would deal with anybody applying for a job that did not want to have a social media account.
Yes. Yeah. I use the veteran story because that's the right story. But yes, Representative Doherty, that's what I
never heard of this, but there are lots of people without Facebook accounts. So anyway, thank you for bringing this to us.
If an employer requests that the employee provide access to the Facebook account as a friend, is that mentioned in that scenario mentioned in this bill?
Chairman Holby, I've read through the bill. I don't know that that's covered. I know that asking for passwords and to be able to actually boost, that's the term that was used in the Senate chamber, to boost is covered, that they would not be required to do that.
So they're not required to provide access to their employer of their Facebook page?
That's what I believe that it says. But they could voluntarily do that, but they're not required to.
That's true.
Right. Thank you. Representative Widener.
I think it was last session, and I think it was Representative Doherty's bill where we didn't allow that.
Yeah.
So, and protected mm-hmm. people's Facebook accounts. So, I mean, this seems like it would just be adding on to what Representative Doherty had. Am I correct in saying that, Representative Doherty?
Well, let me answer that. Well, this was that an employer could not require you to give them your Facebook password.
Right.
If you don't have a Facebook account, then that's a moot point. So,
I'm not quite sure. This bill doesn't change any of that.
No.
All right, Representative Hurd.
Mr. Chair, do you know what the reason was for the employer wanting this account established? What was the purpose of it?
Chairman Holvey, Representative Hurd. I'm not exactly sure. My belief is it's a national company. It's an online application process. I actually tried to apply for a job online to see what the actual application said. But as I was progressing through the application, I had to be honest. And I actually was not seeking employment with their corporation. And so I had to end my application process before I actually got into it, into the part where it might ask for a Facebook address. So I believe that it's probably a nationally, it's an application that has probably been approved by a team of specialists, and that was a block that was put in there. Other states may have different arrangements with how their Facebook or social media of employees is used. And so.
Follow up. I guess it would make me much more comfortable as far as a yes or no vote, whether that's today or in the future, to actually have that information from you to understand, okay, is this a function, a necessary function of their business between the employer and the employee, or what? I mean, I struggle with making a decision on this for myself personally, not having anything other than just this one unknown, unnamed company requested or, I guess, required as part of the requirement of becoming employed there, that they have a social media account. I mean, it could have had something. I mean, I'm just speculating now. It could have had something to do with schedules or what have you. If employment became possible, I'm just saying it would be great if you could get that information somehow.
Well, just from my perspective, this is about a personal.
Yes.
Social media account, as opposed to something what you're describing, maybe an actual business, social media account that they may require, for conducting business, perhaps. I don't know. Hmm. Representative Beretta was next.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I was just wondering, Peggy, if you had contacted the company, further up and said, look, we're thinking about introducing a bill. I'd really like to know, why you have this policy.
Chairman Holvey, Representative Barreto, I did not contact them. I Again, I honestly didn't think that it would get to a hearing. I just wanted to express myself in this. And again, I am delighted that it has. I could make some phone calls. I could do that. But on the other hand, I don't want to diss a corporation that is doing this probably throughout the nation. And we in Oregon, we're pioneers. We go forward first. And I think that social media is something that we have to address. And this is just one aspect of it.
Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Peggy, I was just, because I'm looking at this, and I'm wondering if maybe they're just trying to see, okay, what's this applicant look like, just trying to get an idea of who they're going to be bringing in for an interview so they don't have to interview so many, because I'm gambling that I think I might know who this business is, and they probably had thousands and thousands of applicants to go through, and they're trying to do a pre-screening is probably why they were asking for the Facebook pages. Do you think that's it?
Chairman Holvey, Representative Widener, it could possibly be, but you can access on Facebook without being a friend on Facebook. You can access. You may have to filter a lot of names if it's a very common name.
And they were requiring follow-up, Mr. Chair.
But they wanted that at the interview, at the physical interview they wanted. So in this case, I don't think it would have. If he'd had a Facebook address at the physical interview, he was being scheduled for the physical interview. So I don't know that it was one of those screening processes at that point.
Representative Evans.
Thank you, Chair. I have a question and a comment. The question is it still, based on your current and past association with a number of veterans and military organizations, is it still the policy of DOD right now to actually discourage Facebook and other social media accounts because of the mounting threats of ISIS and others on military members around the country?
Chairman Holvey, Representative Evans, yes, it is.
Thank you. This bill has particular attention to me because of the changing dynamics of the way in which terror organizations are now targeting individual military members living at places that are not on military establishments. The second and just as important piece is for folks that may be the subject of domestic violence, abuse, or other types of harassment. Having a Facebook account is easy prey for those that are trying to terrorize them. And I just appreciate you bringing forward this particular issue, and I hope we have a chance to fix this problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Nuss, question?
It's just a comment, Mr. Chair, which is that employers that troll on Facebook to find out about potential applicants are potentially breaking the law. I went to a conference a couple of years ago about social media in the workplace, and this was an employment lawyer that revealed this to us. It was not a union attorney, but a management attorney who talked about the interview process. And if you're an employer, there's certain questions you're not allowed to ask in a job interview. But if you go on a social media site and you see something like, oh, yeah, Representative Doherty is going to have a baby, and then you make a decision. I know. but then you make a decision not to hire somebody because you find out 6 months from now they're going to be on a leave of absence, and you can prove that that was done through Facebook. That's actually not permissible. Mm-hmm. So employers should be careful.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, if this is the third time.
Representative Widener, a follow-up?
Follow-up to what Representative Nose was saying. I think this is the third time this session that I've heard that Representative Doherty's going to have a baby. Is
I'm 64 years old, for gosh sakes.
I just wanted to clarify for the record.
It's rumors.
Never hit
no
rumors.
Other,
it's
impressive, really. No other questions. Let's try to keep this germane to the bill.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know how we get in the weeds.
Thank you very
like
much
this.
For bringing the bill forward. I appreciate it.
Smoker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
With that, we will close the public hearing on Senate. Was there anybody else that wanted to testify? Senate Bill 185. With that, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 185A and open a work session on Senate Bill 185A.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 185A to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Representative Barton moves Senate Bill 185A to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Discussion. Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm supportive of this bill. People's social media is they're private. If they want it to be public, they can open it up to public. I choose not to have all of my information out on the web and being public. I think I should have the discretion to do that. It shouldn't be used in hiring for employment practices. That's what interviews and everything are for. So I will be supportive of this bill.
Representative Hurd.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'll probably be a courtesy yes on this bill, but I would really like some more information on why this particular company or other companies may be requiring this. I don't see that they're requiring, because I was just trying to Google why some employers might do this. I couldn't really find anything, anybody specifically talking about requiring that they have a social media page. I did see a lot of stuff about access to passwords and things like that, and I know all of us would agree that's crazy to require that of your employees. But just because I, as an employer, wouldn't require this of my employees, maybe particularly because of the industry I'm in, I just hesitate to be just gung-ho rubber stamp this for all employers, because there may be folks in the tech industry, maybe Facebook itself would require that its employees have a Facebook account, personal or otherwise. So I just wish I had more information.
Representative Espel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will support this bill wholeheartedly, because what the bottom line is, the employer to me is over the line when you start getting into people's personal life, and that's what this amounts to. Doesn't matter what the justification is to me, mm-hmm. We're over the line on this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Not seeing any other discussion, Matthew, with a roll call.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative
Esselon?
Aye.
Representative Evans? Yes.
Representative
Fagan?
Excused.
Yes.
Representative
Duff?
Aye.
Representative
Whitehead?
Aye.
Vice
Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Henry? Aye. Chair Holder? Aye. Senate Bill 185A, having received the votes, is passed. A volunteer to carry the bill, Representative Widener. With that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 185A. Open a work session on Senate Bill 277.
Mr. Chair and committee members, this measure was heard by the committee March 27th. It's a measure that authorizes DCBS to license those that are providing money transmission, debt management, and check cashing services through the nationwide multi-state licensing registration system. There are no amendments, there's no revenue impact, there's no fiscal impact, and the Senate vote was 29-0.
Thank you. Representative Barton.
Chair Hovey, I move Senate Bill 277 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Barton moves Senate Bill 277 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Seeing no discussion. Matthew, could we have a roll call?
Representative Barreto.
Aye.
Representative Doherty.
Aye.
Representative Esquivel.
Aye.
Representative Evans.
Yes.
Representative Fagan.
Excused.
Representative Hurd?
Yes.
Representative
Nuss?
Aye.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye.
Senate Bill 277, having received the votes, is passed. Any objection to putting this on the consent calendar?
Yeah, that's fine.
Seeing that, we'll put Senate Bill 277 on the consent calendar. Close the work session on Senate Bill 277. Let's open up a work session on Senate Bill 286.
Mr. Chair, committee members, this measure was heard back on March 22nd. It deals with the fees that the public utility commission can impose. Increases the maximum civil penalty from $10,000 to $200,000 per event per day, and raises the maximum penalty for a series of failures from $500,000 to $2 million. There are no amendments, there is no revenue impact, there's no fiscal impact, and the Senate vote was 30-0.
Thank you. Representative Barton.
Chair Hovey, I move Senate Bill 286 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Barton moves Senate Bill 286 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Seeing none, Matthew, can we have a vote?
Representative Beretta?
Aye.
Representative Dougherty?
Aye.
Representative Baskerville?
Aye.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fagan?
Excused.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Nose?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
No.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kenmer?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye.
Senate Bill 286, having received the votes, is passed. Since we have some no's, I won't put it on the consent calendar. Anyone like to carry this bill?
I'll carry it.
Yes,
Margaret Sitch.
Or just somebody else.
Just somebody else. Doherty? Thank you.
Just save Shamia.
I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 286 and open a work session on Senate Bill 291A.
Chair, committee members, the measure was heard March 29th. It modifies the circumstances under which an injured state worker has the right to reinstatement or reemployment, declares an emergency. There's no amendment, no revenue, no fiscal, and the Senate vote was 25-5.
Chair Hovey, I move Senate Bill 291A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Barton moves Senate Bill 291A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be a no on this bill as well. I think rather than putting this in statute, should be something that's done by management and looking at the employee's performance and everything. So I will not be supporting it out of committee today.
Thank you. Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will also be a no on this for some of the same reasons, but also, you know, this basically has an injured employee being able to go anywhere in the system without any criteria based on why he was injured, if he's a reckless worker, if he endangers others on the job. Seems like there ought to be something that specifies in this description what kind of an employee he is. So if he's a qualified employee and he deserves that, you know, I think that's fine, but it leaves room for questioning. And I say that based on experience, too. I mean, we've had people that have been reckless, they endanger others, and certainly they're written up on that, but there's times when, you know, they just get hurt all the time, and there's reasons for that, so.
Representative Basketball.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. I will also be a no, not only for what my colleagues have said, but also the fact that we're taking the discretion out of management, and that's just not our position, I feel, that we should be doing. So I will definitely be a no vote.
Other discussion? Seeing none, Matthew, can we have a roll call?
Representative Beretta?
No.
Representative Dougherty?
Aye.
Representative
Esquivel? No.
Representative Evans?
Yes.
Representative Fagan?
Excused.
Representative Hurd?
No.
Representative Nuss?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
No.
Vice Chair Barton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kenmer?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye.
Senate Bill 291A, having received the votes, is passed. Volunteer to carry this bill? Oh, looks like the chair has volunteered for that one. With that, I'll close work session on Senate Bill 291A. Jan, anything else on our agenda today?
I just would say the meeting on Wednesday will start at 8, not 8:30, not 9.
Whoa. Give demerits to the...
I will adjourn the House Committee on Business and Labor.
It's a dynamite for some reason.
I will adjourn the House Committee on Business and Labor.
It's a dynamite for some reason.